When I read this parable last week in anticipation of preaching, I thought, wow, Jesus, that is a terrible story. I'm not touching that one. Much easier to preach on the Ten Commandments. But I heard the passage in an entirely new way when I read it on Monday, in the wake of the largest mass shooting in U.S. history. Jesus tells us of a landowner who buys land and plants a vineyard. Then he rents it out to tenants who care for the vineyard while he leaves and goes to a different country. Time passes and the landowner sends three of his servants to collect his profits after the harvest. But the tenants have no intention of paying. They beat one of the servants, kill the other, and stone the third. The landowner is shocked. He sends a larger group of servants, hoping that they will be able to defend themselves. But they too are beaten and stoned and killed. In a final desperate act, the landowner sends his own son, thinking surely they will respect him. But those heartless tenants, they know that he's the heir, and they want his money, so they kill him too, without a second thought. Parables are metaphors, of course. Jesus is retelling the story of the Hebrew people. The landowner is God. The servants who come again and again only to be killed are the prophets that God has sent throughout the ages again and again when people of faith lose their way. Jeremiah, Moses, Isaiah, Nehemiah, they go to the people of God to preach a word of truth, to ask for reform and change. And yet often they are beaten. They are imprisoned. They are mocked. They are silenced. In the case of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, beheaded. So God sends Jesus, thinking, surely they will respect my son. But we know the grim fate that awaits our Messiah. I can't help but wonder if Jesus tells this parable to expose the dark side of humanity. The part of us that justifies violence so long as it yields a hearty profit. The part of us that fights bitterly with loved ones over family inheritance. The part of us that dehumanizes fellow humans in other lands because their ways are different from our ways. The part of us that betrays someone who trusted us. The violence in the parable is absurd. Why do so many servants have to die? What happened to these tenants to make them so heartless? Were they raised in violent homes? Do they struggle with mental illness? Is the vineyard so profitable that it's worth defending at all costs, even when it leads to unimaginable violence? Jesus doesn't have much sympathy for these bloodthirsty tenants. He says that the kingdom of God's going to be taken away from them and given to people that produce the fruits of the kingdom. The God revealed to us in Jesus Christ is loving and forgiving. But when the same evil act is committed by a group or a society again and again without any remorse or any reform, Jesus puts his foot down and he issues a warning saying, if you won't live loving and faithful lives, I'll find others who will. So what does this parable, this difficult parable, mean for us? Who are we in the story? Jill Duffield is a Presbyterian pastor who argues that as followers of Christ, we are the new tenants that have been brought in to care for the vineyard, which means that we have great responsibility. She has a prophetic reminder to us tenants. She writes, "The vineyard, so lovingly created and entrusted to the tenants, does not belong to us." That's lesson number one. We don't own anything on this earth. It is all on loan, leased to us for a period of time. But no matter who the tenants are, if they occupy that land long enough, they start to feel entitled to it. They start to decide who can live on it and who can't. They get upset with who builds a house on it. They don't want to give up the land or the harvest. They do whatever it takes to maintain what wasn't theirs to begin with. Her words remind us how easy it is to forget that everything is a gift from God. We trick ourselves into thinking that we are masters of our own universe. We forget the psalmist's wisdom that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. We have been given freedom. But God holds us accountable for how we spend our days and whether or not we share the profits of our life's harvest. Jesus, God's Son, but also fully human, knows all too well the sin that we humans are capable of. We've done horrible things and come up with elaborate excuses to justify the evil acts we've done. God gave us a basic moral code to live by. The Ten Commandments gave the ancient Israelite community limits and boundaries so that they could live together in harmony and not tear each other apart. The law is a gift from God who was trying to keep our darker human tendencies in check. Jesus doesn't abolish the law of Moses. He comes to earth to live it out in his daily ministry, and he simplified the Ten Commandments, giving us only two: loving God, loving our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. The law of love. This law of love was seen in so many of the good Samaritans who risked everything to help the injured and those fleeing for their lives in Las Vegas. The law of love will not permit us to sit idly by and wait for the next mass shooting to occur. The law of love asks us as Christians to acknowledge the role that we have played in perpetuating cruelty in our culture. It asks us to confess our sin and to repent by working together to fix the problems that feed this horrific violence. Is it overwhelming? Absolutely. Is it complicated? Of course. It will require that we take a good, hard look at our nation's gun policies, that we take a good, hard look at our failing mental health system that is not equipped to aid the people who need it most. We're going to have to look at our obsession with violent video games, at our addiction to social media, which glorifies attention-seeking behavior, and so many other issues that contribute to this deadly problem that has seeped its way into our society. There are no quick fixes. But if we do nothing, we're going to get more of the same. More children of God dying far too soon. And many of you have said to me this week that you feel numb, that you feel tired, that you feel defeated. That's the beauty of being part of the family of faith, because we don't do this alone. Christ is with us, calling us to remember who we are, guiding our steps and showing us a better way. Today we weep at the foot of the cross for those executed in Las Vegas. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope. For we are an Easter people who worship the resurrected Christ, God's response to the execution of his son was to interrupt the cycle of violence by showing the world a new way. God didn't meet violence with violence, but gave us an empty tomb, showing us that the power of evil and death will never again get the last word. As followers of Jesus Christ, may we have the courage to find a new way, to go back out into the vineyard that has been entrusted to us, and to rip out the weeds of violence and hatred that are all around us, so that we can get to work sowing seeds of freedom and justice and mercy and peace. For those seeds are the ones that will bear fruit in the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.